for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 24th, 1987. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the minister of the evening.
Well, it's a privilege to have Tommy faithful and Brother Bill be faithful to come and be here to help us wherever they're needed in the services. And it's a joy for the anointing and the word of the Lord that the Lord is flowing through Brother Tommy Cook. And I just turn the rest of the evening to him to minister the word of the Lord and to minister to us as the Spirit of the Lord works and moves on him this evening. Brother Tom.
Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we thank you for this word tonight. Truly, your word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. The very entrance of this word gives light. And you said in your light, we would see light. And we thank you for the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this word tonight, Lord, that will build us up and give us an inheritance in Christ Jesus among those that are sanctified. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many's enjoyed the camp meeting?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Me too. Praise God. You know, there are three things that I pray. Number one is that I pray that the Lord will keep me from pride and arrogance and haughtiness. And two, I pray that the Lord will help me to keep me from error and deception. And three, I pray that he will help me to rightfully, accurately divide the Word of God. And we know we need to divide the Word of God accurately by the Holy Spirit. And as Brother Parrish said this morning, I believe it's Brother Parrish, no one person has it all. We have a portion. And that's why we need each other. The ministries need each other. The body of Christ need each other. Isn't that right? And so I thank God tonight that God has brought us together to share the Word of God. I want to share a word that the Lord spoke to me this morning, early this morning, to share. And we want the help of the Lord to be able to do this. Praise the Lord. God has spoken to me to minister tonight on false prophets. I believe there are true prophets in the land. I believe they're true apostles. I believe they're true evangelists and true teachers and true shepherds. But we know there's false apostles. There's false teachers. There's false evangelists and so forth. False prophets. But we want to share that. Now tonight we know within us there is the prophet Jesus. Not all of us are prophets tonight, are we? But we are part of the body of Christ. And the prophet is in us, Jesus Christ. And you know, he is the prophet, he's the priest, he's the king. And the prophet brings forth righteousness. The priest brings forth peace. And the king in us brings forth joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? But turn that around, a false prophet brings unrighteousness. A false priest brings confusion. And a false king brings sorrow. But the one in us brings righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. His name is Jesus. Amen? And we know if a man is a prophet is because it's the prophet in the man. Amen? Hallelujah. Or an apostle or a teacher or whatever. Now let's turn tonight to some scriptures. Turn with me to Matthew 7. I'm going to take my time tonight. Anybody in a hurry to go home? Good.
It's raining outside.
Good. Praise the Lord.
Raining the Holy Ghost.
In Matthew 7, we'll start there, and I'm going to give you several scriptures before we get in this message. Let's turn to Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads somewhere. And that word destruction, it means perdition. It's the B system. It leads to destruction. I mean, no, Judas was called the son of perdition. Isn't that right? The Antichrist is called the son of perdition. That word perdition is the same word here, destruction. And he will lead this Broadway here that Jesus is talking about, will lead to destruction. And he said, many there be which go in thereat. Next verse. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few. Many are called, come on now. Few are chosen, and few there be that find it. Now we know that life starts in us as Jesus comes into our heart. But how many know there is a fullness to that life? 30, 60, and 100. Now come on, help me. Out of court, holy place, holy of holies. Let's go a little further. Passover, Pentecost, tabernacle. Amen? We could go on with those three. Now, turn to Luke just a minute. Luke 13. I got it right. In Luke 13, verse 20, Jesus said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Now, let me stop here just a minute and say this. There is the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of God is alike in many places in the scripture. But there is a difference in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in other scriptures. There is a mixture in the kingdom of heaven realm. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like five wise and five foolish virgins. How many of you know that scripture? Matthew 25. And I could show you other scriptures that I have in my heart. But I don't want to get into that. But the thing is, here in verse 20, he says, I want to show you what the kingdom of God is like. Verse 21. It is like leaven which a woman took. How many know the woman is the top of the church? And the woman took and hid in, how many? Three measures of meal, till, time word, the whole was leaven. How many know that? Spirit, soul, and body. Amen? I believe he wants us to be a whole Christian. Do you? How many know we haven't arrived yet? Come on. Hallelujah. Now, verse 24. Here's the word I'm coming to. What's the first word? Strive. Agonize. How many know to get saved, you don't agonize. It's free. You don't agonize to get filled with the Holy Spirit, although I've seen some doing it. It's a free gift. But here he said, agonize to enter in at the straight gate. What are we talking about? We're talking about the kingdom. We enter the kingdom through what? Much tribulation. Isn't that right? We have to be a child in order to enter the kingdom. And there's other things. You have to be poor in spirit. You have to be born again, of course, in order to see and in order to enter it. But he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. We've got to press in. We've got to be a violent person in the spirit to take the kingdom. Isn't that right? There's one thing for the kingdom to come in you, but it's another thing for you and I to enter the kingdom. It's one thing for Christ to come in me. It's another thing for me to begin to walk in Christ, in the anointed. It's one thing for the power to come in me, but I must walk in the power. Yeah. Amen? So he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. He said they'll seek to enter, but they shall not be able. Now, there can be many reasons why, but I'm going to give you one tonight. Now, let's go back to Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Matthew 7. Look in verse 15. Jesus had just quoted, there was going to be a few enter that life, enter that kingdom of God. In verse 15, what did he say? First word, beware. That's a warning, isn't it? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Amen. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're ferocious wolves. They're savages. Now, false prophet, most of the time, will not meet a season or seasoned ministries head on. But he'll go to the weakest that he can find many times. And he'll go around to members of a church or a community or whatever, and he'll go to the weakest if he can find them. And he'll plant his poison or his venom in those people of God if they'll allow it. And if they open up to that venom, to that poison, then they begin to do something. They begin to foam and froth at the mouth. And they begin to attack, listen, true ministry. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. How many know there's some true ministries in the land? We're not magnifying the false tonight, but there's true ministries in the land. But we need to know what the false ministry, at least a prophet, a false prophet, is what the signs are. Now, the first thing is, right here, I want to show you, the first point, rather, I want to give to you, rather, is this. A false prophet has a false spirit. Now, look at that verse again in chapter 7. Jesus said that these false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but what? Inwardly, inside, in the heart, they are ravening wolves. So something on the inside is wrong. They have a false spirit. Amen? So there's something false about this. Now notice he said they come in sheep's clothing. How many know a wolf can't grow, a sheep cannot grow wool? And he has deceptive tracks. He may look like a sheep, but his tracks are deceptive. And three, if you have a sheepdog, how many know he's going to smell him out? Amen. And we need discernment, not on the body, but in the ministry. We need the gift of discerning of spirits to operate within us. Isn't that right? To discern which is good from that which is bad. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. So they're coming. They're looking like sheep, but inside they have a false spirit. Now, you can believe what you want to, but I believe the land is full of false prophets. Amen. Amen. And I'm not naming anybody. I'm not doing that at all. I mean, no, to even know that, you'd have to have a revelation from God. God would have to show you. You don't go around pointing people out. Now, the trouble today would be some would point at the true ministries and call them a false prophet. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's go to the second point. Second point is that they're spoken well of. Look in Luke 6. False prophets are spoken well of. Jesus said in Luke 6:22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. I mean, he also said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Did you hear me? Blessed are you when men shall hate you. That's not only ministry, that's people of God. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now, how many can see these are people who love the Lord? Verse 23. What are we to do? Rejoice you in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner, did their fathers, these are church fathers, or the people of Israel's fathers, unto who? The prophets. What does that mean? That means they hated them. They separated from them. They reproached them. They cast their name out. The true prophets. But woe to you that are rich. You have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full. You shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now. You shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well you, for so did their fathers, here it is again, to who? The false prophets. The false prophets will be spoken well of, but the true prophets will be hated. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to 1 John 4. This is the third point. They're worldly. False prophets are worldly. Can you say amen to that? 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit. Why? Because there's demons in the world. There are wrong spirits in the world. We must test and prove and try the spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try, test, prove the spirits. Notice the word spirits is plural. The spirits, whether they are of God. And as Brother Perry said this morning, there are spirits of just men, there are angels, and there are demons. Amen. Praise the Lord. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they're of God, because, here's the reason, many false prophets are gone out into the world. What's the world? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Verse 2. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's in your flesh. That's in my flesh. Verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it's in the world. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Verse 5, how many know verse 4 is a real overcoming scripture? But how many know not all Christians are overcoming, though? Verse 5, that it should. Not all of us are overcoming as we should. Verse 5, they are of the world. They're of the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And therefore, they're going to speak something. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will hear them. If we have the world working in us, how many know we're going to open right up to them? And yet the Bible said we have not received the spirit of the world. But where does most Christians live? They live worldly. Next verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God. Did you hear that? Heareth us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So when the prophet, false prophets come in and the worldly spirit comes in, it opens God's people up. When they open up to those type ministries, it opens them up to the world, right? To the lust, to spirits, to Antichrist spirits, to these false prophets, and to the spirit of error. Amen. But how many know his divine nature working in us will open us up to Christ, the anointed one, to discernment, to the spirit of truth. Amen. And to true prophets and true ministries, and we will not be deceived if we walk humbly before God and walk in the Spirit. Come on. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, fourth point. These false prophets want to be where you are. Let's go back to Matthew 7. They want to be among the church. I mean, the devil likes to get among the church. In Matthew 7 again, notice what Jesus said in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you. They want to come to you. They want to come to me. Amen. Look over in 2 Peter 2. Let's go there. We're dealing actually with false teachers here, but there's a reference to false prophets, 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, among Israel, even as there shall be false teachers, where? Among you, church, among the church, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. So they'll bring in heresies. Two, they'll deny the Lord, and they won't just come out and say, I don't believe in Jesus, most of the time. Verse 3, many, there's that word many again. Many, which means they'll have a large following, shall follow their pernicious ways, and the truth is evil spoken of. Amen. And something else, verse 3, covetousness, he said, with that, and with feigned words, they'll make merchandise of you, praise the Lord. So they're out to enter among the people of God. They'll bring their heresy, they'll bring their evil ways and their covetous ways among God's people. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at a scripture in Revelation. Turn there with me. Look in Revelation 12. Look at 3 and 4. And I want to show you the tail ministry. Brother Parrish, I think, brought this out the first day of his ministry. Revelation 12, 3 and 4. There appeared another sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, the red machine, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, at this time, the dragon's after the child, the man-child, the sons of God, the overcomers. And later he's coming after her, but he's after the man-child, and God catches the man-child to the throne. Now, let's look at this tail ministry. Turn back to Isaiah 9 in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 9. And look at verse, let's see here, 14, 15, and 16 in Isaiah 9. Therefore, the Lord will cut off. How many know he can bring to life and he can cut off? And it said the Lord's going to do it. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel. How many know Israel today can speak of you and I? Galatians 6 said we are the Israel of God. Come on. You know your Bible. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient, that's the elder, and the honorable, he's the head. And the prophet that does something, that teacheth lies, he is the tail. So the one that teaches lies is the prophet. Verse 16, look at this. For the leaders of this people cause them to err. Who? Who's them? The people of God. How do they err? By listening to lies. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know God never told us to follow just prophecy? We believe in prophecy. We prophesy. But we're to be led by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. And our first purpose, at least from my standpoint coming, is not to prophesy or do anything, but to bring what thus saith the Lord, what God is saying to me, to you. And I'm sure the other brother maybe feel that same way. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't follow prophecy. We don't follow gifts. We follow the Lord. How many know signs will follow the Word? Amen. We don't follow signs. Signs follow us as we proclaim and declare God's Word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, now, Jeremiah, let's turn there, chapter 5. So, hang on. We're going a lot of scriptures. Jeremiah 5. I respect God's word. I tremble at this word. Jeremiah 5, 30. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. It reads a lot different in another translation, but in the New American especially. Verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. That's a lie. And the priests bear rule by their means. And my people, God's people, love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? And we've come to the end of the age. It's time to recognize the one speaking. Is he true or is he false? Is he bringing truth or is he after your money? Come on. Now turn to Jeremiah 14. 14. Hallelujah. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. They're using my name, God says, but they're speaking lies. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you something, a false vision. How many know a false vision or a false prophecy or a false dream brings a false hope? And there are people today that have received these things and they're living on a false hope. Hallelujah. It's one thing to receive a prophecy. It's another thing for God to bring it to pass. And people, they carry those things in their pockets 10, 15 years. If you want to do it, that's your business. Hallelujah. But if God is speaking, God can bring it to pass. I know there are things at times we have to do, things we must do. They're conditional prophecies. But he said right here, I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesied out of you a false vision. And what? Divination. How many know there's a fine line between the Holy Spirit and divination? Amen. You study Balaam's life. How many know Balak sent rewards of divination to this man? Amen. But how did he end up? He ended up as a soothsayer, and he was killed by a sword. And the thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Now turn to Jeremiah 23. 23 of Jeremiah, verse 13. God said, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. I believe we could say this, I've seen folly in the prophets of America. They prophesy in Baal and cause my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the province of Jerusalem, which would be the church today to us, and horrible thing, they commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and inhabitants as Gomorrah. Verse 15, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. How many know that's bitterness? For from the prophets of Jerusalem in profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. How many know when God speaks, breath goes out of his mouth? Just as you and I speak, breath goes out of our mouth. And when God speaks, the Spirit of God goes forth. In verse 21. Well, go back to verse 18. Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, hath perceived and heard his word, who hath marked his word and heard it? Verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they had caused my people to do something, to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Verse 25, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? It's not only in the prophets, it can be in the people too. I mean, many people have been hurt by false dreams. How many know that people take medication and can have dreams? Verse 27, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Don't add to it. Don't take away. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word how? Faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Verse 30, therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies, by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet or the priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. So we better know the true ministry from the false in this hour. Isn't that right? Whether it be in your church, whether it be wherever you go, we need to know the true from the false. Praise the Lord. Now, how many know that the wolf comes when you begin to put bacon in the house? Just think the natural. How many of those wolves like natural bacon? But when you begin to put meat in the house, the wolves begin to come. Go to Acts 20. Acts 20. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 20. Here's a 2020 vision scripture. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church, to the elders, the shepherds at Ephesus. And verse 20 said, "Now I've kept back nothing that was profitable to you." How many ministers can say that today? How many know we're to give to the people the truth that we have? "But have showed you and have taught you publicly." Look at this. "Publicly and from house to house." How many know there are people against house meetings? Well, I'll tell you, God ordained it. God spoke to me 15 years ago and he said, "Go to the homes." He took me out of the Pentecostal churches. I was in Pentecostal churches, which I won't name. And he said, "Go to the homes." And for 15 years, he began to put a word in my heart. And I appreciate home meetings. Jesus told the disciples to go to the homes. But you know, when they went to the homes, they were to choose a good one. I believe if you have meetings in a home, you need to choose people of good reputation in the neighborhood and city. Amen? Who live a Christian life. Praise the Lord. But how many know homes also need leadership if you have home meetings? Or they can become chaos. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know that that Paul's companions, Priscilla and Aquila, had a church in their home? You ever read that? Good. Okay. Acts 20. Look in verse 25. Let's see what Paul says here. "And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone, preaching what? The kingdom of God shall see my face no more." Paul preached the kingdom of God. And by revelation, he knew this. All right? Now, look in verse 26. Start there. "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." That means he gave them the truth. 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Verse 28. "Take heed, therefore..." Now remember, he's speaking to the shepherds of the church. "Therefore," he said, "take heed therefore unto yourselves," first of all, shepherds, "and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost," hallelujah, "hath made you to be the overseers." How many know only he can make leaders? The Holy Ghost. Amen. "Now, to feed or to shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Next verse. Here's a revelation. "For I know this, that after my departing," when I leave, who's talking? Paul. What had Paul done? He had put bacon in the house. He had put food within these people that he had from God. Are you hearing me? He said, "When I leave, when I depart, shall grievous wolves," savage wolves, look at this, "enter in where? Among you, not sparing the flock." They're out to rip up and destroy God's sheep. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Now look at verse 30. "Also elders of your own selves." And I believe in eldership. But one reason it doesn't work is because of carnality. But if you can get men who love Jesus and love each other and walk in the Spirit, it can be a beautiful thing, can it? Hallelujah. But he said, "Of your own selves shall men arise," speaking, number one, perverseness. Perverse things. They'll begin to speak things they shouldn't speak. And two, they will seek to draw or to drag away disciples after them. God has never called us just for people to follow up. We must point them to the Lord. Isn't that right? Amen? Yes, we must be an example and we must feed the flock. How many know some people don't move until they call their prophet or their apostle? Now, I'm not against, we need godly counsel. Don't misunderstand me. But how many know we also have the Holy Ghost in our hearts that can tell us this is right and this is wrong? Hallelujah. Now, we need godly counsel from the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. Amen? But I know people, they won't make a move until they call long distance somewhere. Well, how many know they're probably putting that person ahead of the Holy Ghost? Amen? Hallelujah. I like to say something a little stronger. Not thinking of anyone. But there are many Pentecostal wizards in the church. And there are many Jezebels in the church. We need to know, God, is this your counsel? Or is it man's? Or is it the enemy? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, go to Galatians. We said to you that the enemy doesn't come around until you put bacon in the house. Look in Galatians 1, 7 and 8. Verses, chapter 1, 7 and 8. Paul said, talking about the gospel of Christ, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would do something. They're perverts of different kinds. They're perverts that would pervert this. That trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now the problem here in this church was that when Paul would come ministering, there was always those coming behind him and like to tear things down. Isn't that right? Now, he said in verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. Now, look in Galatians 2, verse 4. I believe Brother Parrish brought this out the other day. Verse 4, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ. I imagine there's been a lot of spies planted in here to see what's going on. Hallelujah. But God moves in spite of it, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have where? In Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, look in Galatians 2 there. 3:1. What did he say? Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who's done it? Wasn't Paul. That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. They were going back. In verse 3, he tells us right here, are you foolish having begun in the Spirit, or are you now made perfect by the flesh? I mean, no, many Christians start in the Spirit and end up in the flesh. And that's why daily we need to love the Lord and fellowship the Lord and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said, you know how through the infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. How many has ever seen a work started and everybody loved each other and the Spirit of God was just moving? Maybe 2 years later they just hated each other. Anybody ever seen that? Okay. Verse 15, where is then the blessing that you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become something? Your enemy, because what? I tell you the truth. Now look at the next verse, first word. They zealously affect you, but not well. Hallelujah. Chapter 5, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And then in chapter 6, verse 12. 6:12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. So there were those stirring up trouble in this church, trying to get people to go back on the law and, of course, into a fleshly way. Amen? Now, let's see what else a false prophet is. Turn to Acts 13. Brother Parrish again brought this out the other day. Sound like I'm preaching his message. But in Acts 13, we see a definition here of a false prophet. But God spoke this morning to me. He said, preach on false prophets. I like to hear the voice of the Lord like that. You know, sometimes you go and you wonder, God, what am I going to share tonight? Sometimes you don't want to step up here. But it's good to hear the voice of the Lord and know ahead of time, isn't it? Chapter 13, and we want to look at verse 6. And when they had gone to the isle unto Patmos, this is Barnabas and Saul, Paul, the apostles, they've been sent out by the church. Notice they've been sent out by the church. How many know ministries need to be sent out by the church? Well, of course, by the Holy Ghost, but the hands were laid upon them. Verse 6, when they had gone to this isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now, here's a man wanting to hear the truth. Now, just as these apostles went out, immediately there's a confrontation. Amen. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Another paraphrase edition says he glared at him. Imagine he did. And said, O full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert? There's another pervert. The right ways of the Lord. And now behold the hand of the Lord. Now here, Paul is speaking something on this man. Here is a working miracle. Is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me back to Matthew 24. I want to show you false prophets can do miracles. And most of us, we get a miracle, we flip over ourselves. Amen? You cannot believe every miracle unless you know it's from God. In Matthew 24, look, first of all, in Matthew 24, look at verses. Look back, first of all, in verse 10. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. There's no trust. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and do something. Deceive how many? Many. There's the word many again. But what's the next verse? And because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He that endures to them shall be saved. Verse 14. But in the midst of it, in the midst of a falling away, in the midst of false prophets, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Hallelujah. In all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Then we go down to verse 24. And how many know the word elect is used here? And three times I know of in this chapter, the word elect is used. And how many know they're not gathered till after the tribulation? The elect means the chosen of God. And yet the Bible's talking about the very elect here in verse 24. There shall arise false Christs. That's false anointings. How many know anointing is not always by the volume? Sometimes I do speak loud, but it's not by the volume. How soft or how loud? There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive who?
The very elect.
The very elect. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 13. Hallelujah. I mean, appreciate the word of God. Amen. Our life. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, if there arise among or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. And again, we think, boy, that's God. And there are times that, many times it is God. Verse 2, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass. Then we'd really believe it's God. Where if he spake unto thee, saying, let us do something, go. Go after what? Other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet. How many today once knew Jesus and served Jesus and are not following Jesus because of false signs and miracles? Then thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Hallelujah. And that prophet or that dreamer dream shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and which redeemed you and so forth. So God says, we better know if this is a true sign or a false sign. Even though it come to pass, it would lead you to other gods. God says we're not to go after him. Amen. Turn to Revelation 16. Revelation 16 in the scripture. Well, we go to Revelation 13, first of all. No, 16, excuse me. We'll get it right. Revelation 16, here's a vial being poured out upon the earth. But in verse 13 of chapter 16, John said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Frogs. Come out of the mouth of the dragon. The mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of devils. Working what? Miracles. Which go forth unto the kings, that's the leaders, of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And verse 15, notice when this is going to happen, right before the coming of the Lord. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his guard. Naked and they see a shame. Amen. Then we go up to chapter 19 of Revelation. And this is when Jesus comes. But I want to look at verse 20. Verse 20, chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Notice, before the beast. How many know it's the false prophet that's working miracles before the beast? Which he deceived them, the people that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with something. Brimstone. Amen. Now turn now to the book of Revelation. Well, we're there, but in chapter 13. Chapter 13. I want to read a few verses here, and then I want to share something that I have here. Let's look at this false prophet. Last night we said in chapter 10... the Lord is putting his feet, and we said we were the feet, upon one foot on the beast and one on the false prophet's ministry, one on the sea, one on the earth. We see in chapter 13, the beast comes out of the sea, and the false prophet comes out of the earth. So let's look in chapter 13. Let's look in verse, 11. Verse 11. Now here's the second beast coming out of the earth. First one came out of the sea, which is the beast now. Verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, out of the carnal realm. And he had two horns. Horn speaks of power and authority. He had two horns like a lamb. But he spoke like the dragon, didn't he? He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Verse 12. He exercises all the power. Do you hear that? He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Which causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship what? The first beast, the one that came out of the sea, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by sword, and did live. Now, and there's more he's doing there in that chapter that I won't read. See that the false prophet ministry comes up where? Out of what? Out of the earth. Well, how many know he's a counterfeit to the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit, of course, came down from heaven. Now, the false prophet had two horns of authority. The Holy Spirit has God's authority, is God's authority. The false prophet looks like a lamb. Amen? How many know the Holy Spirit has the lamb nature? The false prophet spake like a dragon. The Holy Ghost comforts and speaks truth. He's the spirit of truth. The false prophet has the same power as the beast or the Antichrist, the one before him, what it says there. How many know the Holy Ghost has the same power as Jesus? How many know he exalts Jesus? The false prophet causes earth to worship the first beast, or the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit causes man to worship Jesus. Amen. The false prophet does wonders or miracles in the sight of men. So does the Holy Spirit. Amen. But it brings glory to Jesus. Now, there is the image of the Antichrist or the beast, but there's also a body of Christ. He's bringing us into his image. Amen. How many know we're talking Bible? How many know what I'm saying? The false prophet tells men to make an image to Antichrist. The Holy Spirit empowers men to become the image of Jesus Christ. How many know he's raising up some sons first? Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. The false prophet gives life to the image by demon power. And I'm not just looking at a statue either. I'm looking at people. There may be some statues, I don't know, but I'm telling you, I may know the devil has a people coming for him, just as God has a people coming for him. The Holy Spirit gives life to the body of Christ by Holy Spirit power. Hallelujah. The image of the body of Antichrist is commanded to receive the mark of the beast, the nature and character of the beast in the head and hand. And the body of Christ is likewise commanded, hallelujah, to receive the mark of the Lord. Isn't that right? The seal of God. Also in their forehead and in their hand. Amen? Which means we think right and we'll do right. Praise the Lord. So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying to you, brethren, we're facing and we already beholding much of this going on already throughout the land. But especially right at the coming of the Lord, we're going to see a step up in this false prophet ministry. And we better be aware. And we need to be warned. And we need to know what to look for. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, I believe that God says things today, and I believe that God moves in a supernatural way. And when God says something to you, first of all, how many know that you'll have a witness in your heart if it be of God? I was saying to you today when Brother Parrish was teaching on Paul, you know, when Agabus came and gave Paul that word, Agabus knew what was going to happen by the Spirit there, by what he told him. But he never made that decision for Paul, did he? And how many know that the prophets and the apostles and teachers and shepherds and evangelists come to confirm that which is in your heart? But they can never make that decision or a decision for you. You have to make the decision. Isn't that right? Number two, what is being said to me, if I'm being prophesied to by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or whatever, is it according to the word of God? The Bible said if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Three, what is being said, does it lead you to God or does it lead you away from God? Number four, does it give you bondage or liberty in the Holy Ghost? Number five, does it exalt man or Jesus? Hello. Number six, does it edify, exhort, and comfort? The simple gift of prophecy has no revelation in it. But how many know revelation comes with it? The simple gift of prophecy. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, so forth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And lastly, do you see the fruit of the Holy Spirit? By their fruits, you're going to know them. Amen. We're not known by gifts and talents. We're known by the fruit we bear. By the Holy Ghost. How many know we need his nature tonight more than anything? People major on gifts, and I thank God for the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and I thank God for the moving of the Holy Spirit, but we need the nature of Christ. And when the nature of Christ moves in, how many know he brings the gifts too? Amen? Hallelujah. God, warn us. We ask, Lord, that you'd warn us tonight, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. That you would show us, Lord, those things that would be false. Again, Lord, keep each one of us from pride, haughtiness, and arrogance. If there be any in us, forgive us and cleanse us. Lord God, we ask you to keep us from error and deception and delusions, Lord. Lord, you said you're going to send strong delusion upon those who would not receive the love of the truth. And thirdly, Lord, we ask that you would help each one of us to rightly, accurately Lord, divide the Word of God by the Holy Ghost. Lord, none of us have all the truth. But God, we can have a love for the truth. And Lord, if we have a love for the truth, you can lead us into truth. And we know the truth is Jesus. And Father, we thank you. You've given us the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And He will lead us to Christ. Lord, do a work in each one tonight, we pray. Father, continue to bless the meeting in the morning. And open our hearts, Lord God. We love you and we appreciate you. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn, I'll turn it back to you.
We've heard some very serious teachings today. I believe we need to take heed in our hearts to what we've heard. I think it's teachings that are preparing us for the days that lie ahead of us. But we'll not be those who separate ourselves and try to stand alone. And that we'll understand and realize that there's false teachings in the land, and that they're going to increase and increase and increase and increase. That we need to be able to discern and separate
Hallelujah.
The false from the true.
Hallelujah.
We can walk in that which the Lord leads us and guides us by His Spirit. That we know the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're living in a serious hour. An hour that when the Lord is calling us to holiness
yes.
before Him. And to hear and to know the Word of the Lord in our lives. I don't know how to imprint upon our minds the seriousness of what has been brought here today. We need each other. No matter where you live, and if it's Guatemala or Alaska or Florida or where, South Africa, we need each other. We need to be bound together by the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We need to know and feel the needs of others.
Hallelujah.
We need to become a true intercessors in the household of faith.
Hallelujah.
So that when the Lord puts somebody on our mind or our spirit,
yes.
we immediately realize the urgency of it. And we go to prayer in behalf of that person or that need. When God brings somebody before you,
yes.
don't be frivolous and push it aside.
Amen.
Pray. In the night season, wherever they cross your mind, the Spirit of the Lord brings them to you. Pray for them. They need the protection, that they need guidance, they need direction, that they need somebody to stand with them in that hour. I will never forget during the Vietnam War. I will never forget how the Lord laid on our heart early one morning to pray for somebody. I know as well as I stand here
yes.
that it was a literal person. It wasn't just in my imagination. Because I saw that person. I saw him as a civilian. Then I saw him as a sergeant. And as a civilian, I saw the house they lived in. I knew the street number, the street number and the name. The name of the street was Sunset. I saw the house. I even knew the house number. Then I saw him in Vietnam. I saw him being attacked by the Viet Cong. And I saw grenades around him. I woke Irma, and we got on our knees and prayed. And I believed that the life of that person depended on our prayers at that moment.
Hallelujah.
Someday I expect to know who that person was.
Yes, hallelujah.
But it doesn't matter, really.
Oh.
We've got to be faithful to be intercessors for our brothers and sisters,
yes.
the household of faith. And it doesn't matter whether you ever know who that person is or not. Your prayers may be the difference between life and death, both physically, but more important, spiritually,
yes.
in their behalf.
Hallelujah.
Lord, make us intercessors.
Yes.
Make us intercessors. Yes, brother? Brother Parrish and,
yes.
and brother
and they should come up.
Trench and Sister Trench. Bob, Thelma. But we should be intercessors.
Hallelujah.
Not only when we're here, but when we're not here.
Thelma,
right. Where's Thelma? Oh, she's not. Well, she does need prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your Lord. Peggy, I'll add you over here. Praise you, Jesus.
Linda.
Ah. Who? Did somebody say Brother Norman? No, I thought I heard somebody. Oh. Praise you, Jesus. Beg your pardon?
Irma.
Oh. Irma, come help us pray. Pretty please. Praise the Lord. Praise your Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your Lord. Be down there, my brother. Praise you. Bill, come up here and lead us in prayer. Everybody join with
me. Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, for the warriors of the cross, we're just a few, Lord. There's many of them.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for dedicated people, Lord God. We thank you for obedient servants, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for these people that you've called to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers, Lord God, to shepherd your flock, Lord God, to lead and to teach your flock, Lord God, to come forth, Lord, and to evangelize and to lead your flock and to prophesy to them, Lord God, and to show them your will, Lord God, in your way, Lord, to teach us of the kingdom, Lord God. We thank you for them, Lord God. Lord, we hold them up to you now, Lord God, and we just thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.
Lord, we stand as one corporate body, Lord, with one mind and with one spirit, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we say thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father.
And we loosen on them, Lord God. We loosen on them, Lord. For where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, harmonizing in your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever we loosen on earth shall be loosened in heaven. And Lord, we loosen the war angels to go before them and protect them, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
And we loosen the ministering spirits to minister to them, Lord God. And we loosen, Lord. We loosen the ministering spirits and the powers of the heavens, Lord, to go forth and prepare the way, Lord God, to smooth out the path, to make the road straight, Lord, to fill in the low places and level out the high places for them, Lord God, that their path be smooth, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord, we bind away from the evil spirits, Lord God. We bind away the powers of darkness, Lord. We stand against the powers of darkness, Lord. We stand against Satan's emissaries, Lord God. We bind the curses, Lord, that would come against them, Lord God.
Amen.
And we bind them and we command them to turn and go back from whence they came, according to your word in Acts. In Psalm 109, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God.
Mighty God.
Lord, you say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Let your prayers and supplications be known with praise and with thanksgiving.
Yes, Lord.
And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard a garrison your mind in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, we loosen the peace of God on them. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. On them and on their families and their little ones that they've left behind, Lord God. We loosen the peace of God and the blessings of God upon their families, Lord, and their wives and their children and their little ones that they've left behind, Lord. And their grandchildren, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for the seriousness of this hour and this day. Father, I thank you that we will consider it. We'll hide it in our heart. That we'll not be found wanting in that day. We'll be ones who will give forth instead of ones who will need. And I thank you. Now, Father, I pray your anointing and blessing over those who will travel before we meet them again. We bless them, Lord, as they travel. We bless them, Lord, as they return home. We bless them as they're able to return in the future. Father, we pray your anointing and blessing upon them, peace and joy and happiness in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for it. Thank you for a good night's rest. We praise you for it as we gather again tomorrow to finish off these days together to praise and worship you and to hear the word of the Lord. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.